Marnie has a powerful presence.
Good morning.
Babe, was that you?
I don't know. I think so. I think it was me.
No, I just heard a... Yeah, that happens a lot at home, I'm just going to say.
I want you guys to know that this idea was his. Oh, yes, it was. I had something completely different picked out. And he goes, but I'm wearing my superhero shirt tomorrow, and I think yours is hanging in the closet. Then he tried to get me to wear a flannel like his, and I'm like, I think I'm going with the black. So this is all Mike McAvoy.
Praise the Lord. We're glad that you're here today, and we trust God's going to bless you. We're excited. This is our series called Different, and this is part two. And in part one, you'll remember we talked about, we laid this foundation that was of utmost importance, and we addressed the one difference that is very, very bad, and it can have a tremendous and even tragic effect upon our relationships. And if you'll remember, that difference was spiritual incompatibility. Okay, spiritual differences. When we embrace, when our hearts are tied to a different Lord, okay, then bad things happen in relationships. It will tear us apart, ultimately, because the Lordship, whatever is ruling our life, determines our value system and our paradigm for engaging life. And if the Lord, what rules our life, is different from one person to the next, then the value system will be different, and we will eventually either A, drift apart, or we'll tear each other apart. Mm-hmm. And the good news, though, is that God is an incredible God.
Amen.
And he does miracles. So he has the power to speak into lives and to touch hearts and to humble people and to bring them to a place where they can know Jesus. And that, so if you're married to somebody who is of a different spiritual belief than you, or no spirituality, or, you know, religious spirituality, we just encourage you to pray. Mm-hmm. Pray for them and love on them and live Jesus well.
Amen.
Before them. That is key. That's where the hope of salvation comes for your marriage and for them, okay? It's to just model well Jesus in your relationship. So, well, today we get to dive into some of our dirt, our differences, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so Marnie and I, as we have shared with you, are very, very different in personality and in every way, including our interests and our preferences, right? So some examples would be like our taste in music.
He loves country. He won't stop playing it. It's constant.
Yeah. So our differences in music, our differences in movies. I have been subject to more romantic comedies than I can even count.
But you like those. You like them.
You know what? We're going to talk about that today. So, you know, when it comes to, those are the lighter things, but there are other things that feel more weighty and more serious. And one of those would be that, like, Marnie is far more tidy than I am.
Not anymore.
So between the children and I, we have worn her down. But in all seriousness, she is a far orderly and tidier person than I. I tend to have order, but it's in piles. You know what I'm saying? These kinds of interests and preferences, while they're kind of fun and they're humorous, they don't feel funny sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And so we're going to look at what God's word has to say about how to find harmony with our preferences and our interests when we don't really agree. We don't like the same things. And what does God teach us as far as how to handle things and then what the outcome of doing it his way looks like? So if you want to look in your outlines in Philippians chapter 2, it says, therefore, If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. So notice we're talking about you being yoked with Jesus. We're talking about you being bound to him and having this certain paradigm, right, of how you're going to engage life and relationship. It's very, very hard if somebody doesn't share that. But this is, in fact, what we do if they don't. So notice what it says. Verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So I would like you to underline the phrase, nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. I want you to underline the word humility. Circle the phrase, value others. And then underline the interest of others. Because this is what we're going to talk about today. Relationship. Life is full of them. And it's full of interests and preferences that oftentimes are not shared, right? They're not valued the same from one another. And what I want you to understand about relationships, and it's in your outline, is that relationships, more than anything else, are the refining fires, or you might say the classroom, that God uses to mature us to be more like him. Okay? God uses all circumstances, but relationships tend to be, in my observation, the number one classroom, the number one tool that God uses to grow us and to mature us.
But when we're talking about interests and preferences, we are not talking about interests and preferences that are of moral right and wrong. We're not talking about interests of preference or preferences of sin. So, you know, if you have a preference in your life that is a sinful preference, we're not asking the other person to go there.
Right, right. So one of you may, you know, enjoy hanging out with your friends, but if somebody else wants to go and get drunk with their friends, obviously that preference is not compatible with Jesus, right? So we're not talking about, you know, living in harmony with those kinds of things. Right. What we are talking about are preferences like maybe movie genres, if they're, you know, not overly offensive, right? Not offensive and vulgar. Same with music, but the moment you go to the country station, right? Yeah. Anyways, okay, so here's the deal. When you have interests and preferences, those interests and preferences, along with your personality and your spiritual paradigm and how you were raised, you have certain expectations, right? And the other person has expectations, and where they have a certain standard of expectations and you have a certain standard of expectations, the disparity between the two, that space between what you expect and what they expect, is all of the playroom that we get into trouble. That's how much space there is for you and I to be at odds with one another and to hurt one another's feelings and disappoint one another, because we have this idea that it should be this, and the other person has this idea that it should be this. Now, the more alike that our expectations are, that playroom for disappointment and frustration gets smaller and smaller. Do we understand that? So as we talk about these expectations, there are different kinds of expectations. As we mentioned, there are moral standards that we don't want to violate, and then there are preferential. And the playroom we're talking about, the standards that we're talking about today, are preferential expectations. And if you notice in this text, one of the things that it said is that we're to do nothing out of selfish ambition. And I want you to notice in your outlines that selfishness, which is the preferring of self or the lifting up of self, is hurtful and divisive. So when I prefer myself, look here, my expectation is here. I always view what I like. I always view what I prefer and what I'm looking for higher than what somebody else is going to want. It's not that morally or even, you know, by some metric that the world would use to measure it in value. It's not that mine is necessarily more important or more valuable. It's just it is to me, right? And so I'm going to put what I want way up here, and then I'm going to put what they want way down here. And so now we're going to be at odds with one another. And selfishness, what it does is it lifts self up so that that divide between what I prefer and want and what they prefer and want gets wider and wider.
And I don't think that you find that, I mean, you do find it in big areas. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of the problem in relationships, it's small areas. You know, it's like when we got married, I just thought Mike was going to bring me water to my bedroom before I went to bed. And so it wouldn't be there, and I'd feel really unloved, and I'd be like, where's my water? And he's like, well, you can get it yourself, right? Like, just get it before you walk up the stairs. And I'm like, well, that's not the point. In fact, we weren't even communicating that much at the beginning. At the beginning, I was just hurt and got my own water. So.
Yeah.
But.
And when Marnie's hurt, we know. She's kind of a heavy walker anyway, but when she's hurt, she kind of stomps. You know what I'm saying? Boom, boom, boom. Anyways, so selfishness lifts us up, but what God says the answer is humility. And humility in your outlines is the making low of oneself. So I'm taking what I'm putting way up here, what I want, and I'm bringing it down to be equal to or even less than, the Bible says, what they prefer, what they want, their interests. So I'm preferring them before myself.
That's difficult.
It's very difficult.
And you don't realize how difficult it is until you have to do it. And you're just like, this is painful. I don't want to give up my way. I think my way is better. And I like my way more. And so we had to learn what love really was, I guess.
And certain things, you know, so we make jokes about this country music thing, but it was really like, it was really
How
bad.
Many years did I go without listening to country music?
Yeah, so when we were in the car
really
together.
Because he really does hate country music. I like,
it just has almost this kind of nauseating effect on me.
Whining.
Like when it comes on, like, I don't even know why, but I get this physical revulsion to it. And I start, you know. Anyway, so for years, right, I would not let, you know, if I was in the car, we didn't go there. We'd listen to anything else because I like all kinds of music. But we didn't go there. But, you know, I was lifting up myself, my preference. And for years, so in the process, she was robbed of the joy that listening to country music brought her. And I was robbed of a joy because here's the thing about these interests and preferences, and I want you to get this. God brought you together in your marriage, or he brought you together in your friendships so that you can share those. And
like,
so,
like my dogs.
Oh, what a joy. But in all seriousness, I have not grown to appreciate country music, but I have grown to appreciate that my family loves it. And the joy that it brings them, like, I like seeing them enjoy it. I like seeing them happy, you know? And I like them. And even though what they like is very different than what I like at that particular moment, when I see them enjoying it, and I see them light up, and I see them goofing around, I like that. And I was robbed of that. Like, they were being robbed, but I was robbing myself in my selfishness. Do you understand that? And these differences that we have in our interests and our expectations, like, some of us are outdoors people, and some of us are very, very much not. Some of us are, you know, sports-oriented, and some of us are not. And some of us are music-oriented, and some are not. We're, you know, all these differences are actually first of all, who God designed them to be. And if he brought you into relationship with them, it's so that we can share those together. And she mentioned the romantic comedies. I have to say, I haven't got quite there yet. No, I do. You know, I have come to learn to appreciate some of these movies that, you know, she likes. There's a lot of cheese in them, their films, but they're cute and they're good. And again, I love the joy that I see that they bring her and her dogs, our dogs.
We should have brought pictures.
Yeah. Are also something that that I have come to enjoy. So when we elevate and we make one person's, you know, we make our interests and our preferences more important and higher than somebody else's, we're not only hurting them, and we're creating this major gap for a lot of opportunity for offense and trouble in our relationship, but we're also hurting ourselves. We're robbing ourselves of the joy. The joy of getting to experience other things and learning to like and do different things. But we also rob ourselves of the joy of seeing their joy.
And we also rob ourselves of growth, spiritual growth.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Growth in our relationship. Mm-hmm. So.
Where are we?
Well, I thought you were right there, but maybe
humility.
Not.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Okay, so in your outlines, friends, God wants us to value and be valued by one another. This is the bottom line, is we've got to value one another because this is where we start to see that disparity lessen, the gap close, and we get closer and closer to one another on the same level and can relate well with one another.
Yeah.
Now it's you.
It is? Okay. So interests.
No.
No? I'm red. You're blue. You're blue.
Yeah. Where am I?
This is not what I expected.
This was not.
I expected that I'd be lost.
Yeah, interests can be serious or heavy.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you want me to read?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. That's what I was going to read.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So we were talking about one person's interests are not more important or better than another. So interests, they can be really serious in nature and heavy, or they can be light and superficial, which we've shared some of those types of things.
You know, I mean, when you consider weightiness in, you know, the interests of one another, let's be honest. Is it more important that I eat or more important than you eat? The answer is it's important that we both eat, right? So on weightier things, you know, don't turn it into a competition when it isn't one. You know, it's not an issue of one's more important than the other. It's important for both. It's a both and. But on the lighter things, is it truly that your style of music, country, is better than rock? We definitely know that's not true, but just saying that, you know, it's not that her preference is more important or less important than mine, or mine is, you know, trumps hers. We have to learn to get along. So again, God wants us to value one another and value those differences, because in valuing them, not only are we going to strengthen and build them up and encourage them, but we also get blessed out of that.
Absolutely. And so what does that look like to value and serve one another and walk in humility? We're going to continue with Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So I'd like you to go back, and I'd like you to underline, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Also underline in verse 7, made himself nothing, and nature of a servant, please. And so Jesus set the example of how we're supposed to love one another and serve one another. He set the example of love. That's in your outline. Is demonstrated when we lay aside our own wants and interests and serve others. Love is sacrificial. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at Jesus's example as demonstrated in this scripture, this text, we find out that, you know, not only is love being demonstrated when we lay aside our own wants and interests and we serve others, but that tells us something about love, and that love is sacrificial. And when we talk about sacrifice, most of us think in terms of like, you know, we're in peril, and so I'm going to lay my life down and so that I die, right, so that you can live. But sacrifice isn't just in the big things. Sacrifice is in the day-to-day things where I prefer you over me, where I am considerate to your preferences, to your wants, mm-hmm, right?
And for us, it's really everywhere because we are so different. Our personalities are so different.
Yes.
So it's like all day.
Every day.
Every day.
Is a death. 1,000 deaths.
I'm just being funny. It's really gotten much easier over the years. But at first, let me tell you, it was wild. It was crazy.
It was like dying 1,000 deaths every day.
My feelings were always hurt.
Always.
And you were always shaking your head.
Yeah. She's a sensitive soul. And, you know, and I care about people, but feelings are not always safe guides, right? Yeah. And sometimes your feelings are just downright illogical. And so we got to rein those puppies in. But yeah, that didn't go so hot.
Nope.
It was so every day, it was a big, big challenge. I can tell you that even now, so we're over 20 years into this thing, mm-hmm, and it's great. Like, I think we get along far more than we don't. We've learned to appreciate one another's differences and value them. But at the same time, make no mistake, every day it's a decision. It's a decision, yeah, to sacrifice, to bring self low and lift the other, mm-hmm, up. And when we don't, that's where we inevitably have chafing and trouble.
Well, it's proof that love is more than words.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. You know, God wants you to prove your love by your actions. It's not an accident that the great commandment is love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And then Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Right? Mm-hmm. And in another place he said, faith without deeds is dead. And so we need to understand that just saying I love you, it's not enough. Just saying I love God or I believe in God, well, hey, the devil believes in God and he's not going to heaven. And loving God is more than just the words of saying I love you. And loving your spouse or loving your friend or your brother or sister, it's more than just the words of saying I love you. It's proven not only by the fact that we say it, but how we say it, what we say, and also what we do. Right?
Absolutely. And in our relationships, it's kind of a beautiful picture. I've learned to appreciate and think of our differences and understand, oh, man, God is refining me again. And really, that's how I say it. I'm like, oh, that's painful. But that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've noticed that, like, not only has it helped our relationship, not only do we have a strong marriage, but it helps you, like, the more you practice it at home, the more you can do it with other people outside of your home who you might not necessarily, you know, feel like you love. But you do, because the love of Jesus is in you, and it's a whole different kind of love.
Yeah. So sometimes we fall out of sorts with church family members, sometimes extended family members, sometimes coworkers, or even our neighbors, right? And we can find ourselves at odds with them. And, you know, it's being able to humble ourselves and say, God, what are you wanting to do in me in this moment? When there's that difference, when there's that kind of chafing with people, how does God want to grow me? And so in your outlines, you'll notice we said that really this whole thing is more about you than it is them. When you find yourself in relationship tension and even conflict,
preach it, brother.
This is honestly more about you. Now, you're going to be tempted to keep your focus on them and how you want them to change. But the truth is that God is wanting to grow you. He wants to grow them too. But remember when Jesus had resurrected and he met with Peter and John and the other disciples? And then after eating with them, he got up and he took a walk with Peter. And John was walking close behind, kind of eavesdropping, right? He wanted to see what this little private conversation was going to be about. And so Jesus said to Peter, he goes, Peter, do you love me? Now remember, Peter denied Jesus three times before Jesus was crucified. And so three times Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And three times Peter just goes, Lord, you know I love you. And finally, after the third time, Jesus, every time he would say, like, feed my sheep and, you know, do the work of the Lord. And finally, he says to Peter, you know, I know you love me and you're going to do this thing, but there will be a day where someone else is going to address you and they're going to take you a place you don't want to go. And ultimately, he prophesied to Peter that one day he was going to be crucified like Jesus for this new faith, this way of salvation. And Peter, he does what most of us do, and he looks back and he sees John walking behind him, and he said to Jesus, he goes, well, what about him? And Jesus said, what business is that of yours? And when we find ourselves in relationship conflict, a lot of times we want God to drop the hammer on the other person. We want God to change the other person, to teach them a lesson. But in fact, this is really, as far as you're concerned, it's really more about you. It's more about you than it is them. And the choice that is before you in your outlines, the choice is, this is a choice, a decision you have to make to value and honor or not. Every day, in every moment where you have your preference or your interests at odds with theirs, every day it's an opportunity for you to make a decision, to choose. Are you going to value them and lift them up, or are you going to prefer yourself and lift you up? Okay? And honor means to treat as precious. Have you ever had that special family thing where you don't want to drop it and you don't want to see it broken, right? So treat it as precious, and even when we find ourselves at odds with differences.
I was actually in the grocery store. This wasn't planned, but I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was a lady there who is, she's absolutely wonderful, but I was in a hurry. I was in a hurry, and I must have flinched or something because I had a pinched nerve on my back, and she noticed, and she asked me how I was and this type of thing, but then she went on to tell me of her, and I was thinking, oh, man, I love this person, but I really got to go. I really got to go. And then the Lord said to me, well, do you really love her? Because this is love. Listening to what she has to say is honoring her and preferring her above myself and my own schedule. And so that's just an example of just like this everyday thing, you know, not a big, heavy, weighty thing, but an everyday thing that God can speak to.
And we want to think about different ways that we can choose to value one another and honor one another. Like, for example, every day we have coffee in the morning together and we do devotions with our family. And you know, sometimes it's easy to get distracted with like a newspaper or a cell phone and whatever. And so, you know, ways that we can value one another, sometimes just giving them attention, mm-hmm. right? Putting these things down and focusing on them. So Let's talk about
the what happens. What is the outcome when we do relationship this way? When we do relationship God's way? So we're going to continue in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I'd like you to go back, and in verse 9, I'd like you to underline exalted him. And in verse 11, if you would underline the word Lord. So when we humble ourselves, when we make ourselves low, God exalts us. And he does that in a lot of little ways and sometimes big ways.
Yeah, so the principle we see is that if we will humble ourselves, God will lift us up, right? But here's the really cool part. Is not only will God lift you up, but he lifts you up to a place of victory and a place of authority. Like so many times, we're wondering why we're so beat up by the devil or beat up by life. And that's because we give them power when we try to fight for ourselves and we're trying to scrape and strive to lift ourselves up. Listen, you will never be big enough to beat the devil and everything he will throw at you. And there are over 7 billion preferences and interests on the face of this planet. Do you really think that in all of your might and all of your strength, you're going to be able to do whatever what it takes to get yours elevated above all those other 7+ billion? No way. If you really want to walk in that place of authority and power, that place that is exalted, we follow the example of Jesus. We make ourselves low, and God lifts us up.
Yeah. So you must decide who is in charge of your relationship.
So Jesus Christ, of course, is Lord. And you notice that through his making himself low, he was not only exalted, but he was exalted to this position of authority. He's now Lord. He's now the master, the boss, supreme authority over all things. He said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me, right? But here's, so the first thing we want to ask is, who's Lord of your relationship? Who's in charge? Because if you haven't settled the lordship issue, then it's going to be a constant battle of wills. You see, as I told you before, the thing that initially drove Marnie and I apart, which was Jesus, he ultimately became the cement that has held us together over these 20+ years.
Absolutely.
And that's because we've settled the issue of who's Lord, whose will is going to be done in our marriage and in our home. See, if we don't settle that, then it's a battle of wills. It's going to be what I want versus what she wants. And that's not what God wants. So what we've done is we still have interests and preferences, but we have both surrendered to the will of Jesus. And so in that surrender, we find peace and we find the ability to appreciate and value the differences in one another and to humble ourselves to lift them up. And as we lift them up, God is lifting us up, okay? But the other thing that we want to just make clear is if you don't do this, then it is a battle of whether it's going to be your will or their will. Will it be your opinion or will it be their opinion?
So when Jesus is Lord over our relationships, we experience all the fullness and the soundness that he brings. In spite of all of our imperfections and our differences, and in spite of all of our weaknesses and our bad days, and you know, it takes practice. Like I just got it wrong last night with my daughter Hannah. She really didn't do anything wrong, really. But I was asleep, and her little stompy feet woke me up, and
she stomps like her mother.
Yeah. Just like me. And instead of just being loving, I was tired, I was grumpy, I told her to shut up, I was yelling at her, it was ugly. And that was just not God's best. And if I would have just humbled myself and my own feelings, that could have been a good moment. You know, even though maybe I didn't get my way, maybe I did get woke up. The joy that doing it God's way brings, and the peace in your heart and in your life and in your relationships that doing it God's way brings, just outweighs getting your way every time. Every time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's come to this place where we surrender. And instead of it being a battle of wills and a battle of opinions and seeing whose will prevail, whose will, whose preference, whose interests are going to rule this relationship and dominate in this relationship, how about we submit and we surrender and let Jesus be Lord of our relationships? And then in the majority of the opportunities when we have to fly off the handle or to put our preference over somebody else, we can surrender that and die to that. And in the process, see both of us lifted up. We can see this oneness experience. Because the fact is, you know, what really happened is Marnie wanted something her way. And when she didn't get it, well, Hannah, right? But it wasn't just Hannah. And that's the other thing, is that when we do it wrong, friends, it doesn't just hurt you and it doesn't just hurt that other person.
No.
Ultimately, it overflows into the lives of other people. You know, so last night, it wasn't just Hannah and Marnie that were kept awake.
Hi.
Hi. So,
sorry.
But anyway, but here's the thing. And, you know, let's be honest. When moms and dads can't get it together and they can't make it work and they end in divorce, it's not just the mom and the dad that experience the pain of that. When we can't agree and bring our finances into harmony, you know, there's supposed to be a oneness there. Entertainment, when everything is a constant battle, you know, over whether we're watching my show or your show, my song or your song, we're going outside or inside. You know, when everything is a constant fight, it hurts you, but it has a ripple effect. It brings tension. It brings dis-ease into the other people's lives who are sharing that life with you as well. Mm-hmm. So we need to rein this in and surrender it to the Lordship of Jesus, not for just for my individual good, and not just for our good as a couple, but for everybody's good. Amen?
Amen.
So let's take a moment to close our eyes. And I just want to ask you, who's Lord? Who's the boss? Who's in charge over your marriage, over your family, over your relationships with your coworkers, over your relationship with your friends, your classmates, your boyfriend or girlfriend? Who's the Lord? Who's in charge? Whose will are you chasing after? And if right now God is speaking to your heart, tugging on your heart, saying, come and do my will. Let it prevail in your life and in your relationships. Make yourself low and lift God up and lift others up, knowing that he will lift you up. If that's ringing in your heart right now, I just want to invite you to say a simple prayer with our church family, to make a commitment to Jesus, to put him in charge, and to do things his way. And if by chance you have prayed before and what God is speaking to your heart is more of a resurrender, I want to invite you to take this opportunity to do that as well. You may very well be a Christian, but you've been being selfish. With friends or coworkers or your spouse, you've been focused more on what you want. And it has become a divisive issue in those relationships. And if that's you and you need to surrender that, then I want to encourage you to pray this same prayer. So together as a church family, can we pray together? Just say this. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus,
I confess
that I've been selfish.
That I have been selfish.
And I've chased what I want.
And I've chased what I want.
And what I prefer.
And what I prefer.
And I have put it over others.
And I have put it over others.
And in my selfishness.
And in my selfishness.
I have hurt myself.
I have hurt myself.
I have hurt others.
I have hurt others.
And I was wrong.
And I was wrong.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Today I ask Jesus.
Today I ask Jesus.
To be the boss.
To be the boss.
Take charge.
Take charge.
I want your will to be done.
I want your will to be done.
And as I surrender.
As I surrender.
And prefer you.
And prefer you.
And prefer others.
And prefer others.
As I make myself low.
As I make myself low.
I trust you, God.
I trust you, God.
That you will lift me up.
That you will lift me up.
That you will give me life to the full.
That you will give me life to the full.
Now help me.
Now help me.
To live this out.
To live this out.
It's easier said than done.
It is easier said than done.
So have your way in me.
Have your way in me.
Strengthen me.
Strengthen me.
Lead me.
Lead me.
That I may bring you glory.
That I may bring you glory.
To my last breath.
To my last breath.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.